And we're back. Hour two on the warm-up on Fox Sports Knoxville. Keith Hatfield, Tanner Carson alongside 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on with us, 865-546-8200. JB?
Yes, sir.
Continuing your call. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I was going to say that I talked that the struggle is going to be for the citizens. The coaching search is simply a symbol of a way of saying we want our university back. Now, it's far less, the coaching search is far less important to me than taking back an institution that belongs to the taxpayers. The Haslams have tried to privatize all the excess surplus buildings in the state. They tried to do that. They wanted to outsource all the state parks and privatize them, in essence. They wanted to outsource all the prisons, a catastrophic failure. And they, in essence, have tried to outsource the university. Even tried to outsource the local jails where you have to get a damn card, or grandma has to have a laptop or a phone card. She just can't call Leon. The very people that the grandparents and families of these guys locked up, mostly young black men, but it could be young white kids too, they make it difficult for they punish the families with some out-of-state outsourcing to be able to see your family members. And, yeah, that's outrageous. And the reason they do this is because Jones Lang LaSalle, the company out of Chicago, the largest property supervising agency in the world, is who they hire to privatize the surplus buildings in the state, the prisons, the state parks, the universities, and in essence, another company in Florida to privatize the local jails. Well, two ways you make money off of privatization. You either invest in the company, Jones Lang LaSalle, which Bill Haslam did. I'm a lifetime Republican, I must say. I used to call myself Republican. You invest in Jones Lang LaSalle, and then you have a huge investment. And you privatize to put money in your pocket, try to take over and privatize university by taking over the foundation and the raise and distribution of money there, or you can invest in the process. And they do both of these things. Now, hopefully the Haslams, as the royal barge sinks, people realize these are not the fabulous, wonderful, philanthropic people they think they are. Everybody knew that Jimmy Haslam was aware of the rebate scam. If you didn't believe that, you're an idiot. Let me ask you a question. If your company bought an airplane, you bought an old broken-down airplane and paid $1 million for it, and then you junked it out a few days later. If you head of that company, would you think that was a little odd?
Well, I think that question answers itself, JB.
Precisely. And we know. Now, I have no animosity toward the Haslam family, have an animosity to what they're trying to do and try to privatize, control our valley, and take over our university. It is a public university. We own this county. Your citizens own the government and the university. Those clowns don't own it, and I hope they never get to control it completely. Well, I didn't mean to blather on like this,
no.
But I feel this deeply. This is a long struggle for me.
No.
But if you want it, the way you have to go after this is the state legislature. The rhino tide is going out. Alexander's quitting. Corker's quitting. Now, I'm not a Democrat, but we cannot let these rhinos stay in control. And Bill Haslam cannot be president of the university. That's what he wants to bring. He'll bring Steve Engel from UTC, and they'll lock down the campus. You can call the election commission at 215-2480. That's 215-2480. Give them your address. They'll tell you your state legislators are and your state senators are. Tell them, say, we want to take our university back and say that we're behind you. I can guarantee you, they've heard the outcry of the righteous outcry, indignation of the fans of UT. But don't take your foot off the pedal. Don't stop. I want to see this continue so we take back the university, take back our football, and make it fun again, by the way. I like Mike Leach because it was going to be fun, I thought.
Oh, absolutely. JB, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
And certainly everybody knows.
It wasn't my first choice, by the way. I think it would have been a lot of fun.
But no, I mean, I think everybody knows I'm incredibly biased about the subject I'm about to bring up. But
I mean, Kevin,
if Phil Fulmer wants to unite those of us who aren't real thrilled with him,
yes,
isn't the smart thing to do and swallow whatever animosity or whatever he's got, and hire the best available football coach?
Who would that be, Mr. Hatfield?
I believe that would be. In my personal opinion, of people that are realistic for Tennessee to hire, I think it's Lane Kiffin. I don't know that there's a hell of a lot of debate.
Quite frankly, I'm not really – I think sports is kind of stupid, quite frankly. It's just a bunch of people having a tribal conflict. But my reason for liking sports is beating my rivals. That's all I really care about. I want to beat Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and I want to rub Alabama's face. The rest of it I don't really care about. By the way, I think that if you talk to people who really know this, because I played a little football. I'm no expert. They all tell me that Lane Kiffin may be the best football mind, younger football mind in the country. I think they're probably right.
He's in that. He's in the discussion.
And I think that what you see is a guy who, when he went to what he did at FAU, was a miraculous recovery job. Brought in 40 new players, put all that together. He lost DeAndre Johnson, who was going to be his quarterback, literally in fall camp because he had blood clots. He had to throw it all out, start over. He's made his returning quarterback, the Driscoll kid, into a star. They have rampaged through that league. Now, granted, it's Conference USA, but they were far more successful than been before. He's proven he can do it. He's made Singletary and Howell star. They were star running backs. He's used them properly. He's used his quarterback properly. The team is by far the best team in Conference USA, I believe. And he did it basically from a standing start. He's the best coach available in the country, I believe, in my opinion. Now, does he come with some baggage? Yeah, you know what? It's time. I always wanted either Lane Kiffin or T. Martin, for a lot of reasons, because T. Martin would be a reconciliation. In a way, Kiffin is a reconciliation. He's a redemption story. Why don't they just go ahead and try to close the wounds? Let's heal. Let's move forward. Let's put our egos. If the King Johnny can say it's time to be Vol fans, and if Al Wilson can say it's time to come together, let's just come together. Bring in Kiffy Lovendahl, and let's get this. Let's get the best coach we can get. Now,
here's a question, JB.
Yes, sir.
I think it's patently obvious if Lane Kiffin leaves for anywhere, be it Tennessee, Oregon, if Willie Taggart goes to Florida State, wherever, Kendall Briles is going to be the head coach at FAU.
Oh, no question about it.
I don't think there's any doubt. So why on earth wouldn't you just bring T. Martin in to be Lane Kiffin's offensive coordinator?
I agree. One last question. Is it true that Bruce has said he won't cooperate with the NCAA down at Auburn?
The last time there was any reporting on it by Mark Schlabaugh, who I find to be, while not one of my favorite guys, find to be eminently credible, he won't cooperate with his own university.
How much time does he have, Keith?
I wouldn't be surprised if they can't him over Christmas break.
I think you may be right. It's a beautiful day in Big Orange Country. The people have revolted. They've taken back this process. We have embarrassed and humiliated the national media. We've destroyed Cumulus. We've destroyed the PR machine and the gruel and the slop we got from Cumulus. The people have spoken. There's better media. This is an exciting time to be a Tennessee fan. I look to the future. I look to the future with hope. Sounds like graduation, doesn't it?
Absolutely, JB. Great talking to you, my man. See you, JB. We'll jump over. WC, what's up?
How in the world are you doing, Keith?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Well, you already know. Keith. You know, I was sitting here thinking about how long we've known each other. Probably a decade and a half. That's a little scary in itself.
At least that long.
Do you know of any other entrepreneur or small business guy in this town that's been anti-Haslam other than me for as long as I have?
And certainly not to the level you've been.
I'll further expound on what JB was talking about. You know, the one part, leave it to me not to be totally satisfied when this thing started catching momentum, but I found the irony. I said it wasn't that Pilot Oil and Haslam's were found guilty by 7 state attorney generals back during the gas price gouging days. It wasn't that they stole from small businesses. I mean, you could go on and on, but it took them buffooning a coaching search for people to get outraged, you know. And
people take stuff that's close. What happens with that, WC, is people get upset about what's close to them. I mean, I think the average person would readily admit that at the end of the day, the University of Tennessee as a whole is a lot more important than the football team. But the average person doesn't know what goes on in the biology lab or doesn't know how funded or underfunded this program or that program is. They know whether or not the football team's winning. And that's what they know, and people rage about what they know. That's why governments try to keep the stuff that they know will outrage people quiet.
Well, I've never seen in East Tennessee where information has continually been choked out and what have you, where people aren't getting the full and honest disclosure and all that.
Those days are over.
Those days are over, my friend. I tell you what, and I didn't think I would be in this area to see it, but on a political note, you know, I'm pretty proud of my dad right now. My 82-year-old father, decorated Korean Marine War vet, is down in State Senate District 9, getting ready to run an offense in a campaign as a State Senate candidate against a guy that's bought and paid for by Andrew Ogles and Americans for Prosperity, one of the out-state billionaires that are trying to run one of the poorest states in Tennessee in this country. He's going to go assault full-fledged campaign on a guy by the name of Mike Bell. It's probably one of the two operatives out of those Koch brother billionaires or what have you. But that's what it's going to take, what JB was talking about. We can ratchet this thing up a couple notches by people getting politically expedient and getting politically involved, you know. And I compare Haslam's and No Irony Lost, you know, on the opposite side as Democrats back during the Long Brothers, you know, the way they tried to control Louisiana from the 40s all the way through the 60s or whatever. But it was an absolute groundswell and revolt this past week, and I never thought I'd be around here to see it. And I tell you what, it's fantastic. I'm loving it.
Well, WC, I mean, I look at it this way. I appreciate the call, WC. You got some folks back up behind you, but no, seeing the people get out and voice, that's what it's about here. JBC Vol, what do you got for me?
Man, hell of a week. It's been a wild one.
Yeah. I think that's putting it mildly.
You know, it's a crazy time in Knoxville. It's been a really interesting week in that I think I've listened to sports talk probably 11 hours a day this entire week, just because you got so many high quality options. I mean, what Fox Sports is doing is really impressive. What Basilio is doing, I mean, I think Basilio's been on the air 10 hours a day. I don't know how he's doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem cross promoting, because I think everybody knows how strong I think the product here is. I think Jason Swain has done a real service by being a voice for the guys he played with and his other fellow football alums that 990 doesn't want to give voice to. I think, obviously, I mean, I think everybody knows what I think of Tony. He's the reason I'm in this. So I think everybody knows what I think of Tony. And I just think I'll occasionally get mad enough about something somebody over at 990 says that I feel there has to be something said about it. I mean, I haven't listened to a single minute of anything they've done in probably 10 years for the most part. Unless somebody calls me and says, hey, somebody that they know I would want to hear has been interviewed, or you're not going to believe what somebody just said. I mean, I just don't. I mean, I don't. But the thing that bothers, I will say something that has bothered me about them lately. If we're so damn irrelevant over here, why do they keep talking about us?
I mean, it's pretty insane. I mean, they used to just have really boring. It just used to be really boring. But it's to the point where what they've got going over there is literally to the detriment of the common fan. I mean, I guess they've always been agenda driven, but the agenda has been so anti the greater good of Vol Nation and everything that, I mean, it's just been so bad. And this week they have been completely exposed. What a terrible week. Cumulus filing for Chapter 12. And you got Ainge breaking two different coaching hires. You got Jimmy Himes, who even knows what's going on there. And it's a complete mess, but it's been a great week in terms of the local guys kind of giving us another option to listen to. But I just wanted to kind of share a little something with you. I realize all your listeners, that everyone's hating the Haslams, and I get it. Jimmy Haslam is the reason we have Curry. It's a bad situation. But, you know, that family in general, Bill and all those other people, they are hurting. And, I know some of them personally, and they really are hurting. And I just want people to kind of separate that you know, Big Jim, Bill, all those guys, they're different from Jimmy. They really do love this place. And there's obviously been some meddling and some bad stuff that has taken place. But I just don't want you to loop in that entire family.
JBC, that's one thing. That's one of the dangerous things that happens in any of these things. Is that especially when sports starts crossing over into politics. And I mean, that's one of the reasons I'll always admit one of the guys I enjoy most in this business is Dan Le Batard. I mean, I probably let more of that go than most hosts would, and sometimes it probably gets a little over the line and gets into some areas it shouldn't. And when it does, I feel the need to almost apologize for that because it does. Because you're right, you can't paint with that broad a brush. And all I know is this, and I'll just leave it this. I'll just put it in sports context. I'm not going to worry. I don't get into what Pilot did or didn't do on this show because that's not the purpose of this show to me. If a caller wants to talk about it, I'll give them some rope. I mean, I'm not going to let somebody sit here and lay out the prosecution's case or something. But, I mean, I'll give them some rope on that. I mean, it's America. But all I know is the guy runs the Cleveland Browns and has essentially run Tennessee football. Are there two brands right now in worse shape than the Cleveland Browns and Tennessee football on a major scale?
I mean, you're absolutely right when it comes to.
I'm just talking performance. I don't care. I mean, I'm not even getting into personality or anything. I'm strictly performance. I don't have to attack Jimmy Haslam and say it's this, it's that. I mean, it wouldn't matter to me if Pilot was running the most pristine operation in the world, and. That's irrelevant to me for the purposes of this show because that's not what we talk about here. I just know the two football programs he has his thumb on stink. That's all I need to know.
I don't think anyone can defend Jimmy, and I don't want you to think that's what I'm doing.
No, I don't think it is. I'm just saying that the politics on that are irrelevant to me.
I do want to share one little nugget, kind of going out the door on this. A lot of people don't know this, but at USC, they aren't too wild about T. Martin these days. And the fan base is kind of they're not huge into him. And the Clay Helton came out this week and was kind of supporting him to be a head coach somewhere. And that was very strategic. He wants to get rid of T. Martin just because he wants his brother to have the sole offensive coordinator position there. There's some stuff there.
How many fan bases, honestly, JBC? How many fan bases actually do like their offensive coordinator?
That's a good point.
I mean, Alabama fans wore themselves out for 3 years complaining about Lane Kiffin while he broke every record the school had.
Well, I do think the one little nugget I'll share with you is that the big money people. Are finally on board, and this is the staff that they're going to push for first. Lane Kiffin, head coach, T. Martin, offensive coordinator, head coach in waiting, and Kevin Steele as defensive coordinator. There is a lot of noise. There are a lot of people talking about that would never, ever have considered it a week ago. But that is going to be the first big blockbuster name that you guys are going to start hearing. But anyways, you have a good one.
You do the same, JBC. Segment one of hour two of we've been moving so fast around here, it took me a moment to remember how many segments we had done in hour two right now. Back after this. And we are back. Hour two, segment two on the warm-up on Fox Sports Knoxville. Keith Hatfield, Tanner Carson alongside 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on with us. Jeek, what do you got for me today, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic.
Well, guys, we're getting ready to find out how much Tennessee guy, old hoghead is, aren't we?
I think that's pretty simple to say. Well, I mean, I think if left to his own devices, he'll be a real Tennessee guy. I think he'll go hire Kevin Steele. I think he's going to hire an alum.
I think there's only one smart hire, and I think it's T. Martin. Did you watch that 99-yard drive last night?
Well, didn't they go 96 on the drive after that, or something
they might
similar?
Have. All I know is. I told my son, I said, Stanford's crazy if you're going for that. I said, that's a long one. It's almost 2 yards. He said, oh, no. He said, there's no way they're going to go 99 yards. And when they got the ball on the one, I said, wouldn't it be great to see T. Martin take his team 99 yards on his last drive of the season and put them in the Rose Bowl?
Well, the thing that
here's the thing about it, Keith. If you bring in T. Martin as a head guy, T. Martin's not coming as no offense coordinator. You put him in as a head guy, I believe Kevin Steele would come as a defensive coordinator. Then you surround him with Marion Hobby over there on the defensive line and a Greg Jones, Dale Jones as your linebacker's coach, and then just build from there and reunite the players with the program that they bled and sweated for.
It's not an idea that I oppose, Jig. I mean, I've said it. I think everybody knows I'm an unabashed T. Martin fan. I liked last night when they go for the fourth and two, he breaks out the play that they used on fourth and two to put away Florida State in the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, that's the exact same play of him throwing to Sean Bryson was Darnold to his guy last night. I mean, that's the same play. I thought that was a nice little touch.
Well, I just think, and look at, they say he's one of the best recruiters in the country.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And he's got that camp down there in Atlanta. I mean, I just think it's a no-brainer situation. I just don't believe in hiring a 60-year-old lifelong defensive coordinator who has no successful head coaching experience.
Oh, let's be honest, G. It's not just not successful. It's 1-31 in conference play.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest
If you're going to go assistant coach route, you go with a young, energetic guy.
Yeah, everybody's going to think I'm attacking Kevin Steele. I'm really not. But I think, let's be honest, 90% of this fan base, you know what they remember about Kevin Steele? They don't, because Auburn offense drives the train there because of Malzahn. I mean, their defenses look good. And I mean, he's getting some acclaim, and he should. He's done that. You know what most people in this fan base that follow football think when they think Kevin Steele?
That 50-point when he was at Clemson.
70, West Virginia scoring 70 on them, and they'd have scored 90 if Holgorsen hadn't taken Geno Smith out of the game.
Okay. My memory is bad. I was thinking it was in the high 50s.
No, it was an even 70.
Isn't that something? So, you almost have not to walk out on the field to give up 70.
Man, I just don't think – I mean, what does that say about the program? And I get the whole idea about, you know, you want to get back to being Tennessee guys running Tennessee. I understand that, but just don't. I don't know what it says about your program when you hire a guy that's 9-whatever Steele is as a head coach and 1-31 in conference play. I just don't know what that says about your program. And hasn't been a head coach for, what, almost 20 years now?
And these people that say that we've got to hire a sitting head coach, that's a bunch of malarkey. I mean, this program is the worst in the history of UT football. We've got nowhere to go but up. There's no way. I mean,
no, we don't.
Give T. Martin a chance. I mean, because if they don't, you talk about alienating the former players permanently. You may never get them back.
No, though I will disagree with you on one thing because I know a little bit about their relationship. There's a head coach he would come here as the offensive coordinator for.
Lane Kiffin.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, that would be my number one choice.
Oh, I understand.
But you know, but we all know they're not going to do that, especially with old Hoggy running it again.
Yeah. I would be – yeah, if that happens, I mean, of course, I never dreamed I'd look on the stage and see him as the athletic director. So as stunned as I was at seeing that actually happen, Philip Fulmer hiring Lane Kiffin to be the head coach here would be the equivalent of Middle East peace.
I know it's not going to happen because they got too much money, but I would just love to see Jimmy Haslam in shackles in an orange jumpsuit.
I got to be honest, Jake. Outside of your guys who – outside of violent felons, I don't root that on anybody.
Well,
that's just me.
Hey, imagine his cash fund he'd have to buy that stuff out of the
commissary. Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem, obviously.
See you, Keith.
See you, Jake. Steve from Tampa, what do you got for us today?
Well, Keith, I'll tell you what. The USF Bulls got screwed last week. Did you see that crap?
Yeah, that it did appear that the officials may have wanted Central Florida to go undefeated.
And it's a bunch of malarkey. I'll tell you what, that Scott Frost, he's going to be the next 0-12 head coach. And I told you, Butch Jones, he's going 2-10. Well, my bad. He squeaked out two more.
Yeah, I mean, he made a run at your
prediction. Just got it slightly off, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, he made a run at your prediction.
I mean, I'm half surprised we didn't give him an extension.
I think they're...
Now, I'll say this. The coal mines have never had such a huge party as they had when Kentucky beat it this year. But I'll tell you what. They're going to go to that bowl game down to the Tax Slayer Bowl, and they may take over Jacksonville. It'll be the last bowl game they go to for 5 years.
I'm
surprised the whole state hasn't burned down. It's starting to look like a football school now.
I mean, they're put it this way, there's no way Tennessee can really trash talk them.
Well, I mean, trash talking's trash talking, but I mean, heck, basketball season's coming, and Cal's going to blow it in the tourney again.
Yeah, and that's what they're most concerned about, let's be honest.
I mean, football's more like their main sport now. Let's be real. This basketball team they got this year, they got what, 3 losses already?
They've only lost to
Kansas.
I think Kansas is the only loss they have.
But they've had some close calls against some other lesser opponents.
Well, that tells you how much I care about basketball. It's still football season. Give it time, they'll blow it.
Confident.
Well, Keith, I got a question. What do you feel about Big Old Heavy being back in charge?
Like I said at the start of the show, I'm not the world's biggest Philip Fulmer fan, but I don't really know what are the course of action the university had to take, Steve. I don't think there was really any other option. Given the state of everything, I don't think there was much option. I don't think there was really a better option out there.
I mean, I ain't too surprised to hear a man named Philip Fulmer pushed a man named John out of his job. Ain't the first time it happened. Probably won't be the last.
I've been waiting all morning for somebody to use that line. I've been waiting for somebody to fire that shot all morning.
But, Steve, I know with Fulmer back in, it's looking likely that Leach is not going to be the head coach. I know that really hurts you a lot more so than it probably hurts me.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. There's something about not playing defense that I just love. You know, they say play 4 quarters. Well, hell, why don't we only play 2 quarters? You know, defense doesn't need to happen. It's optional. Big 12 proved it. TCU and Oklahoma is going to prove it tonight.
No, they're going to prove it in about an hour, about 2 hours. Why are you playing that game at 12:30 in the Central Time, or at 11:30 in the morning in the Central Time Zone?
Well, I mean, do you mean to tell me Oklahoma and TCU could draw a better crowd? No.
Well, I mean,
now, I'll tell you what,
they're going to sell out, though. Those two are going to sell that place out regardless. That makes no sense to me. Why would you do that if you consider yourself a major conference? Why are you playing at 12:30 in the afternoon?
They're hoping nobody will notice when they screw up and TCU wins today. That being said, I mean, the Big 12, they need nothing more than Michael Leach coming back. As heartbroken as I am, I seen a thing on the Twitter.com the other day where somebody said Mike Leach would live on Chapman Highway. Walk up to Neyland Stadium every day. I got excited just the thought of that.
Crossed the Henley Street Bridge with a banana in hand while reading like The Art of War or something like that, surely.
I'm all for
that. That man deserves such a better job than Washington State. I know we screwed the pooch on that one.
I think every decent coach deserves a better job than Washington State.
I agree. I mean, Washington State, they got all that.
You know, Washington State
just come down to USF.
You know who Washington State should hire? Butch Jones.
No, I'll tell you exactly who they should go and get. After Tennessee goes and gets Charlie Strong from USF, we need to go get Mike Leach, and then we need to send Lane Kiffin to Washington State. Could you imagine Joey Freshwater up there?
I don't think you ever have to worry about Lane Kiffin willingly living in Pullman, Washington.
I mean, hell, a pirate did it for a while. Lane Kiffin's on the beach, so it's close enough. Lane Kiffin ain't the only divorced dad to end up down there in Florida. It won't be the last.
We're up against the break, Steve. Great call. Titansville, PTR, hold on. We'll be back after this. And we're back. Final segment of the show today on the warm-up on Fox Sports Knoxville. Keith Hatfield, Tanner Carson, alongside 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on with us, final segment brought to you by Sapphire, Knoxville's premier night spot. Stop in and check out their new menu. 12 new signature cocktails, a new wine list, new whiskey and bourbon list, and new food. That is Sapphire, fine food and fancy drinks. We go now to Titansville. Titansville, what do you got for me?
Hey, my good friend Keith Hatfield, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Well, terrific, buddy. I'll tell you the real cancer that's going on over there at the University of Tennessee. It's the Haslams and Peyton Manning.
I was wondering when somebody was going to get to Peyton Manning's role in this whole mess.
Expound, if somebody elected me chancellor, I'd tell the Haslams, I am not your robot. You are not going to use me as a robot.
Oh, what's the purpose in having people do those jobs if you're not going to allow them to do their jobs, Bill?
Uh-huh, yeah. And that's the bottom line. I believe, buddy, that... that our chancellor, and I'm going to take back every nasty thing I've said about her. You know, I sort of called her a feminazi. But on this case, I'm going to take back everything I said about her, because why, Keith? She's using her head for something besides a hat rack.
I mean, you don't ascend. I mean, you know university structures well, Bill. You don't ascend that far up the ladder as she has. If you don't have a little bit of savvy about you, no matter how bizarre she comes across with the media and on camera, you don't work your way up to being the chancellor at places like Cincinnati and UT without being at least a bit savvy.
Yeah, but she's finally understanding what the fan base is. They love their football program. They love UT, and they want the football program to succeed and not fail. And for the past so-called years, we've been going backwards while we should be going, my good friend Keith Hatfield, forward.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think there's any doubt about that, Bill. And to her defense, I will say this. Now, probably you should do a better job of doing your homework if you're going to take a job to know that before you get here. But she's never been at a school that has any kind of the fervor like this. I mean, the closest thing she's ever dealt with is probably UC basketball. So, in her defense, she's never really been exposed to this before. And until you're in it, you really don't know what you've gotten yourself into.
I think also the problem over there at Cincinnati, they're strictly big league.
Yeah.
The Reds and the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Oh, exactly. Well, and Ohio's, I mean.
And they're taking, and UC and Xavier and all them, guess what? They take a back seat to both right. The Reds and the Bengals.
Well, we went through this list on here one day, Bill. Cincinnati football, and I spent a lot of time up there because my grandfather worked up there for years, and I'd go spend summers up there and work a little around there. You look at that city. By media coverage, Cincinnati football ranks behind the Reds, the Bengals, Cincinnati basketball, Xavier basketball, Ohio State football, Michigan football, Notre Dame football, local high school football. I mean, they're probably ninth or tenth on the pecking order. So I understand why Butch Jones was shocked by being in the fishbowl here. Because
I'll tell you, Keith, they're half and half over there in that city, because you have half that are UC fans, half that are Xavier fans, and half that are Kentucky fans.
Well, that's true. I didn't even think about Kentucky football and basketball. Yeah, Cincinnati football is about 13th or 14th in that city and stuff people actually care about.
And it's mostly the Bengals and Reds.
Right. So yeah, I mean they take the vast majority of the coverage, and then everybody else gets whatever. But the only time UC gets noticed up there is when they're either really, really good, as they were under Brian Kelly, or they're really, really terrible. Otherwise, when they're doing what Butch Jones was doing and going 8-4, the only people who you're completely under the radar and the only people who notice it are the folks who actually show up, and you're just diehard Cincinnati fans. The average, say the guy who graduated from Michigan State, who works downtown in one of those giant in the Procter and Gamble Tower, for example, he probably doesn't know what time the Cincinnati game starts on Saturday and doesn't care. So, yeah, I mean, that's a nice job if you can get it. If I were Butch Jones, that's what I'd be looking for. I'd be like, find me another place. I can make the money I did at Cincinnati with no pressure.
I'll tell you what, Butch Jones is not going to get another head job, I don't think.
He'll
probably get a job as an assistant somewhere, but I don't believe no one's going to hire him as a head.
Well, the problem with that is, Bill, he's never been a coordinator. I don't think he was ever a coordinator. So, he's not going to go be a running backs coach or a wide receivers coach or whatever he was before. And I can't see anybody in the NFL hiring him.
No.
Then again, I couldn't see anybody in the NFL hiring Derek Dooley. I could actually, because Dooley's got Saban backing him and he's got his dad's name. I mean, I don't think Butch Jones got any real benefactors out there dying to hire him.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you, Keith, I believe that everything is going to be coming up roses. You mark my word.
I hope so, Bill.
Tennessee football is going to be coming back.
I hope so, because we've been in the darkness long enough. Bill, you're a wise man, and I hope you're right on this one.
So I really do believe Fulmer is going to turn things around over there. They should have hired him in the first place instead of that punk and clown Curry.
I can't think of a more disastrous hire that they could make than John Curry. Well, maybe Mitch Barnhart.
And Peyton Manning, I'm never going to like you again until you separate yourself from the Haslams.
Strong words, Titans, Bill.
Separate yourself from them now, Mr. Manning. Because the only thing you're doing is killing yourself. You're giving yourself a bad name. Separate yourself from the Haslams.
Bill, thanks. We've got a couple of people behind you. Thanks for the call. PTR, what you got for us today?
Todd's still laying it down. Hey, you know, Keith, I have to say, I'm going to paraphrase this line, but I don't think anybody's going to beat the big heavy P flushing John's lawn all the rest of the day.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Hey, I want to touch on the T thing, if I may.
Sure.
I kind of want us to shake a little of the wool off. It's gaining momentum. Everybody thinks it's going to happen. Look, I love the man. I wish he were here. But he's not ready to be our head coach. I don't think and this is going to be a tough situation to come in. I don't care the fact that everybody's going to love you, but if anything goes wrong and you don't have any experience in dealing with this, it's going to be a train wreck, and it might ruin him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't care if you're a national championship winning quarterback. You roll in here and throw up a 3-9, ain't nobody going to love you anymore.
No. And here's, I mean, if I were in charge and if we could pull it off, I'm thinking Fulmer. I personally get what you say about him, and sometimes I felt the same way. But I got to tell you, I had a huge sigh of relief when we found out he was coming back. I just felt like it's the best possible solution in the environment we were in.
Well, after I quit,
go ahead.
I was going to say after I quit stamping my feet and breaking stuff and throwing a tantrum, and actually looked at it rationally, I agree.
Well, I've never done anything like that. He's not always talking about. But I hope he finds a good, stable head coach. I hope we can find a way to maybe overpay T to let him know we love him, to come in here and take that secondary role and learn and groom himself, because I do think he would be an incredible asset and a great healing sound for both the VFL, the fans, and everybody else. There's a role for him here. I just don't think it's the head coach.
I tend to agree. But I'll tell you this, from his career standpoint, this is just from somebody who's watched this business in football, basketball for forever. He's a hell of a lot better coming here to be the offensive coordinator than he is going to be the head coach at UTEP or Georgia State.
I agree with you 1,000%.
I mean,
I think one of those secondary roles, because like you said, if there's a stumble or a fumble, you may not get that other chance. If we could set it up, put a great staff together, have him be part of it, they build up the recruiting, he learns from another experience, he learns in the experience of being back here, I do think he could be an incredible asset for this university. So I hope that works out in some way. Hey, thanks for taking the call and doing the people's work. You have a great day.
All right, appreciate it, PTR. Yeah, I mean, when I heard that he was looking at the UTEP job, I mean, and everybody knows I've got a shout-out to Tim Floyd. as I mentioned last night, one of the few things that Greg Doyle and I disagree on, shout out to the newly retired Tim Floyd. I've got a soft spot in my heart for UTEP, but let's be honest, ain't nobody winning there. And the idea that, oh, well, I'll go there and go, if I go 6-6, I'm a genius. Good luck going 6-6. So, and Georgia State, I can see why that would be interesting to T, because he would think that he could just take kind of those secondary recruits out of Atlanta and beat everybody up in that league and build a profile. And there may be something to that. I just don't. Jobs like that, they just carousel guys through. And it, you see so many good young coaches get eaten up at those places that I don't want to see that happen to T. Now, granted, and I think there's some truth to what JBC said earlier. I mean, I've heard things to that effect, too, from folks I got to know out there when Tim Floyd and KO and those guys were coaching out there. But everybody complains about their offensive coordinator. Like I said, Lane Kiffin broke every record there is at Alabama. His offenses did. And Alabama fans incessantly complained about it. I mean, it's just the nature of it. I mean, David Cutcliffe here, he wasn't a genius till he left. Then suddenly everybody realized that, wait a minute, he was actually really, really good. If forced to guess what he's going to do on the coaching search, I think he's going to do everything he can to get Cutcliffe to come here. I think Fulmer will do everything in his power to get David Cutcliffe to come back here.
It makes sense from the standpoint of, if you want somebody to absolutely bring that stability back, at least for a few years, and try to get T over
exactly
as head coach in waiting, because that makes a lot more sense. Because how old's Cutcliffe's older than Fulmer, isn't he? Fulmer's 67. Cutcliffe's like 68.
Yeah, well, I know he's right in there. And,
yeah.
And also,
he probably
a history,
has
a history. Yeah. See, that's the only thing that worries me about bringing Cut over here into this is, while all competitors are competitive, Cut also knows the deal at Duke.
Oh, yeah.
You bring him over here, it's a different deal, and he's going to expect, I want Tennessee to be what Tennessee was when I was here. And that requires a lot. I just don't know that you want to bring a guy at his age that's already had a heart attack back into that grind. I mean, granted, he appears to be the picture of health, and I mean, he obviously knows his health, and so do his doctors, and I don't know that this job right now is a young guy's job, which is, I mean, like I said, personality and personal affinity aside, that's why I think Lane Kiffin's the guy for this job. And if he's not, Jeff Brohm, Scott Frost, somebody like that. I mean, I'm usually the guy screaming for the old hand. Give me the Rick Barnes, the Tim Floyd, the Bob Huggins, the Kevin, or football side, same thing. Give me the veteran. Well, this time I'm actually the guy calling for, I don't care what the stars and all this stuff says about Butch Jones recruiting. I don't think this team's got a lot of talent right now.
Yeah.
I think it's underdeveloped. I think what they have is underdeveloped.
You need development first and foremost.
Right.
I mean, absolutely.
I think it's underdeveloped right now, and I think you can develop it to where this is at least a decent team. But somebody needs to get the hell out of the road and get some players.
Yep.
And they've got to do, and I don't think that, and I understand the whole, well, just assemble this staff. Yeah. Kids like to see their head coach out.
Yep.
I don't think you can just say, that Cut can stay home and everybody will go get his players. I don't think that'll work. Folks, been a great show. Appreciate all the callers. Enjoyed it. Go Vols. We'll be back next week. Go Vols tomorrow at Georgia Tech.